be here. And I concur with Brother Works. I'd be here whether I was asked to preach or not. In fact, I was planning on coming and had the tickets bought when Brother Gordon called. And I don't know which is better, brother, to have notice or to have very little notice. Came working on three or four different messages. And I believe through the preaching of the word, was narrowed down to two messages. It was narrowed down to one. And then I began to hedge. And I even pulled out during lunchtime a message I've been working on, thinking maybe that was route. Thank you, Brother Works. Thank the Lord. The Lord said, this is the message I want you to preach. All the messages have been good, but not to the flesh. I said I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful that the Lord saved my unworthy soul. Amen. Thankful that He placed me in His kind of church. Amen. Called me to preach, yes, to pastor one of His churches. But these messages that have been preached at this conference have just confirmed my wretchedness and my unworthiness to even be saved, much less be a member of the Lord's churches and called to preach His word. Why are we here today? Why are you here today? When I say that, I'm thinking of on the Lord's Day. Why are we in the house of the Lord? Might say, well, because God's word says, and the preacher always wants to remind us of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of yourself together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. If you're not here, you can't encourage one another and incite one another into love and to good works. But why are we here? I believe Brother Gordon mentioned it. We've come to worship the Lord. I've come to worship the Lord. That's why I'm there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and any other time that the Lord permits me to be there. But am I ready? Are you ready to worship the Lord? Turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. We want to read verses 1 through 10. And I've told our people quite often, and I've thought much about it over the years and preached messages concerning it, that there must be preparation made to go to the house of the Lord and worship the Lord. We don't just drop off living our lives and running around out there in the world and run into the house of the Lord at the last minute and think we're going to worship Him. I'm going to share with you this afternoon some thoughts the Lord has just recently showed to me. And I've preached on this passage of Scripture before. I've preached on worship before. Verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mounts which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. In this passage, well-known passage, I dare say every preacher here has preached from this text at one time or another, we have the first mention of worship. In verse 5, the first mention in Scripture of worship. He told Abraham, Take your son, your only son, whom thou lovest, and offer him for a burnt offering unto me. And he said in verse 5 that he and his son were going to go yonder and worship and come back again. I want to think about that word worship just a moment, because this is important. The Hebrew means to bow down, prostrate. Are we to literally, in worship to the Lord, are we to literally, in practice, fall down prostrate on the floor before the Lord? The idea and thought is that we must be emptied of self. And therein, Brother Works, lies the problem. Why we don't have unity in our churches. Because we're not willing to give up self. Our worship services have become fashion shows. And I'm not saying we ought to come to the house of the Lord unkept and dirty. I believe that we ought to be clean. And hair, are those of us that have hair, or you that have hair, it ought to be combed. And our clothes ought to be clean and neat. But it's not a fashion show. Our song services have lost their emphasis, their oomph, because we're afraid somebody might hear us singing a little bit off key or off tune. You see, we've all got a little bit of self that we've brought into the house of the Lord. If we are going to properly worship the Lord, we must fall down, we must bow down, we must fall down prostrate, we must empty ourselves of self. And we must be totally, 100% submitted to the Lord. This is the first mention of worship, but this is not the first instance of worship that we have in Scripture. Turn with me to the book of Genesis. We're there. Chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. And verses 3 and 4. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. We have two types of worship here. We have false worship, and we have true worship. You might say, well, this is Cain and Abel. These were the first children. How did they know what was right and what was wrong? They had parents. The parents were Adam and Eve. Who instructed Adam and Eve? Verse 21 of the third chapter. Unto Adam and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Where did God get the coats of skins? He slew a lamb and took the skin and clothed Adam. He slew another lamb and took the skin and clothed Eve. And I believe that God taught Adam and Eve that this is in type fulfillment of what I told Satan in verse 15. Now to that, I believe God said, and this is the place that you are to come and worship me. In verse 24. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. The key word there is cherubims. What is the significance in the cherubims? Well, if you follow the cherubims, where were the cherubims? They were above the mercy seat. In fact, it was of one beaten work. It was of one piece of metal. And when the tabernacle was completed in the day of Moses and the Shekinah glory of God came down upon the tabernacle, God spoke to Moses from where? From off the mercy seat. Between the cherubims. So God instructed Adam and Eve in true worship and where that true worship must take place. Chapter 8. In verse 20. The flood had taken place, the waters subsided. God brought forth Noah and his family forth from the ark. Verse 20, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. You see, the true form of worship was passed down from Adam and Eve to Abel. Abel was slain. It was passed down to Seth and to all the godly seed. You can follow them there in the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis. And now we find Noah offering worship unto the Lord. The 12th chapter. God called Abraham from the Ur of the Chaldees. Told him to go forth into a land that I'll show you. And he journeyed as far as Haran. His father died there and he buried him. And he left Haran with Lot and all their substance and journeyed to Sychem. Verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. At the place that the Lord appeared unto, where the Lord was, he built an altar. He worshiped the Lord. Verse 8. And he removed from thence, that is after worshiping the Lord there, he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. He worships the Lord again. But where did he worship the Lord this time? He said he journeyed to a mountain on the east of Bethel. I was curious about the word east. And you know what it means in the Hebrew? East. But it also means before. What is the significance of that? Before the house of God. Bethel means house. Beth. El. God. House of God. He built the altar before the house of God. Proper place to worship the Lord is at the house of the Lord. And the proper way to worship the Lord in the house of the Lord is being emptied of self. Totally submitted to the Lord. In verse 2 of our text, another word that we want to look at was the word offer. The word offer in Genesis 22 and verse 2. He said, offer him, Isaac, therefore a burnt offering. The word offer is significant in that it means to go up, to ascend. So in proper worship, we are submitted totally to the Lord, and we're giving up to the Lord. That which we're offering, that which we're giving, is going up to the Lord. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. There's no spirit when self is in the way. It is His spirit bearing witness with our spirit. And for that to happen and take place, we must be emptied of self. And then we offer up in truth those things unto God which He tells us to offer up. In this case, it was Isaac. Abraham was to offer Isaac to God. Isaac is an offering. An offering of worship unto the Lord. As I think about Isaac, Isaac is a great picture. A great type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Which means that he points in picture to Jesus Christ and His offering on the cross. Jesus Christ is an offering, was an offering. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians in chapter 5. I want verse 2, but we'll read verse 1 to go along with it. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children. Just like children imitate their parents, we as the children of God are to imitate God. And this is how He said, and walk in love. And walk in love. Agape. Divine love. As Christ also hath loved us. And how did He love us? And hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor, for a sweet smelling aroma. That sacrifice which God, which Christ offered up in our behalf, ascended up into the nostrils of God, a sweet aroma. And the worship in our churches and in the assembly today is to ascend up into the nostrils of God a sweet aroma. And when self is in the way, not going any further in this ceiling. And there will be divisions. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 4, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. He gave Himself. He offered Himself for my sins, for our sins. Isaac was an impossibility, humanly speaking. Turn with me to the 18th chapter of Genesis. the 18th chapter of Genesis in verse 10. And he said, that is, God said to Abraham, I will certainly return unto thee according to this time of life, and lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. She was past the age of childbearing. Her womb was dead. What that verse just said. In case you disagree with that translation of it, turn with me to the book of Romans in chapter 4, and the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans, speaking on this account, said in verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Humanly speaking, Isaac was an impossibility. Sarah couldn't have children any longer. She passed the age. But that's what God wanted, that he might display his power. But we can compare that with what we have said concerning the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Isaiah in chapter 7. The book of Isaiah, chapter 7. In verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, an impossibility. And that's why the perversions say a young woman, because it was an impossibility for a virgin to have a child, to conceive. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Any doubt about that? Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together in the bonds of holy matrimony, before they came together in the bed, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Why? Because it appeared to him that she'd been unfaithful. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, an impossibility, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not. Not knew her not again, but knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And I like the dialect that Mary had with the angel in the book of Luke, chapter 1, in verse 34, when the angel told her that she was going to be with child. Verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Any doubt? It was an impossibility for Mary to conceive and to bear, but that the power of God might be displayed, and that that which was conceived in her was of the Holy Spirit, was of God, and not of man. But with God, all things are possible. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26. Verse 2 of our text said that Isaac was the only son. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Anybody out there like me? Got a question mark going on? Aren't you saying, but Abraham had another son? Ishmael. But God said, take thine only son. Ishmael was not an impossibility. Ishmael won the type of Jesus Christ. Ishmael is a type of the flesh. The type of the bondwoman. Galatians tells us. God's promise to Abraham was not to Abraham and Hagar. God's promise was to Abraham and Sarah. Abraham, take thine only son, the son of promise, the one that God promised to Abraham and to Sarah. John chapter 3 and verse 16. What is it that Jesus recorded for us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Isaac was willing to give himself a sacrifice, an offering to God. Isaac did not resist. Don't believe the pictures that you see in Sunday school literature. How many of you have seen pictures? Abraham, and he's walking with a little lad to the mountains in Moriah, like this. In my studies, as near as we can tell, Isaac at this time would have been 25 to 35 years of age. The Jewish writers place him at 26 years of age. Abraham was an old man. If their age of Isaac is correct at 26, Abraham would have been 126 years of age. Isaac would have been entering the prime strength of a young man, entering maturity. The Jewish tradition was 30 years of age, and they were knowledgeable. They had understanding in the law and all things. In fact, I've been studying the book of Ezekiel on Wednesday nights with our church, and the Jews were not even allowed to read the book of Ezekiel until they were 30 years of age. That's how difficult the book of Ezekiel can be. The point is, Isaac was old enough and strong enough to have resisted his father. Get this point. We're talking about worship. Abraham, take thy son, your only son, Isaac, the one whom thou lovest, and offer him for a burnt offering. Abraham was submitted 100% to his father. How do I know that? Because I'm a father with an only son. And if God said to me, offer thine only son for an offering unto me, if there was one little bit of myself in me, I would not be obedient. And we find Abraham immediately being obedient unto God. He was submitted to his father. Isaac was submitted to his father and that he didn't resist. Look with me at verses 7 through 10. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. And bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar, upon the wood. Isaac just willingly laid down there, and Abraham bound him. Now listen, if my dad would have tried doing that to me, I'd say, Dad, you'd have lost your mind. There's no way you're going to do that. My point is, Isaac displays to you and I in his worship of God that he was totally submitted to his heavenly father and he was totally submitted to his earthly father. And whatever the will of God was. And you and I are to be submitted. When we're to be submitted in every facet of our life to our heavenly father. And especially when we come into the house of the Lord and under the pretense of worshiping him, there cannot true worship go on when there's any bit of self within us. When there's any sin within us. Jesus Christ was a willing offering. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms in chapter 40. Been there a couple times during the course of this conference, but nobody has read these two verses 7 and 8. Then said I, though I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Yes, expressing the heart of David, but also a prophetical psalm concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's mentioned again in the book of Hebrews. Turn with me to the book of John in chapter 10. I know this is a familiar portion of Scripture to us all. John chapter 10. Verse 11. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. See, he willingly gives his life for the sheep. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. We read in The book of Isaiah, chapter 53 and verse 7. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as the sheep before her shears is dead, so he openeth not his mouth. Think about that. He could have opened his mouth. And oh, the power of the Word of God. All through the Word of God, we can see the power of the Word. Beginning in Genesis 1:1. And he spake, and it was so. He spake, and it was so. The Word of God, he could have opened his mouth, and all they'd have fallen down dead. He said in the book of Matthew, chapter 26, and verse 53, he said, know you not that I could have prayed unto my Father, and he could have sent 12 legions of angels. Now, a legion was a regiment in the Roman army. And according to my readings and studies, a legion was of about, in that day and time, was of about 6,800 men. 6,100 footmen, 700 and some horsemen. 6,800 times 12. 81,000, 82,000 angels, legions of angels, could have come and delivered him. But he was submitted to the will of the Father. He said in the book of John, chapter 8, verse 29, he said, my Father never leaves me. He says, for I do always those things which please my Heavenly Father. If we're going to be pleasing in our churches, in our worship services to the Heavenly Father, we must be totally submitted to Him, emptied of self, and then offering up those things which He accepts in truth to Him. Brother Dan. Amen.